The first time Matteo touched my hand in the break room, it wasn't some cinematic moment with soaring violins and soft lighting. It was frantic, sweaty, and smelled like burnt espresso and desperation. We were both high performers at a top-tier architectural firm in Madrid, the kind of place where you don't just work, you exist. If you aren't billing 80 hours a week, you're invisible. And being invisible in that office was a death sentence. Matteo was the lead partner on the Solana project, and I was his right hand. We were a team. We were a force. That's what everyone said. But the force didn't stop at the blueprint table. It started with the late nights. You know how it goes. The office empties out around 8. The cleaning crew starts their rhythmic vacuuming in the hallway, and suddenly the air between two people gets a lot heavier. We were leaning over a 3D model of a luxury hotel, our shoulders brushing, the scent of his cologne mixing with the ozone of the printers. He looked at me, not at the plans, but at me, and said, "Elena, you're the only one who actually sees what I'm trying to do here. It's a classic line, isn't it? The lonely genius and his indispensable muse." I fell for it. God, I fell for it so hard. Our affair was built on the adrenaline of the deadline. We'd sneak into the supply closet, or find a deserted floor in the parking garage. Our hearts hammering against our ribs, not just from the sex, but from the terror of being caught. In the office, we were professional, cold even. I'd present a budget to him in the boardroom, and no one would know that an hour earlier, his hands had been in my hair. That secrecy was a drug. It made the mundane parts of the job feel like a high-stakes spy thriller. I felt powerful. I felt like I was winning at a game no one else even knew was being played. But here's the thing about workplace entanglements. They never stay at the workplace. They are like a virus you carry home on your skin, in your clothes, and eventually in your pocket. Javi, my husband, is a good man. He's a teacher. He's steady. He's kind. And he's observant. For months, I told him the late nights were just the Solana project. I told him the sudden mood swings were just the pressure of the firm. He believed me because he loved me. But then the messages started coming at times that weren't office hours. Matteo didn't have boundaries. He was a man who took what he wanted when he wanted it. It started with a thinking of you text at 10 on a Saturday night. I deleted it instantly, my heart jumping into my throat. Then it was a photo of a bottle of wine at midnight on a Tuesday. I grew a second skin of anxiety. I started taking my phone into the shower. I slept with it under my pillow. I became a ghost in my own house, always hovering near my device, ready to intercept the next digital grenade. Matteo decided to lob into my living room. Javi isn't stupid. He saw the way I'd snatch the phone off the kitchen counter if it buzzed. He saw the way my face went pale when a notification popped up while we were watching a movie. Suspicion doesn't just arrive. It grows teeth. It starts small, a little nibble at the edge of your trust, and then it starts biting chunks out of your soul. The turning point was a Thursday evening. I was in the kitchen, chopping onions for dinner, trying to pretend everything was normal. My phone was on the table, face up. A mistake I'll regret for the rest of my life. I had stepped away to grab a bowl, and that's when it happened. A message flashed across the screen. It wasn't a text, it was a photo. A photo Matteo had taken of me in his office, asleep on the sofa after a particularly long night of working. I was disheveled, my blouse half unbuttoned, looking very much like a woman who had been thoroughly undone. Javi saw it. I heard the silence before I heard the sound of the phone being picked up. The air in the kitchen turned to ice. When I turned around, he wasn't crying. He wasn't screaming. He was just looking at me with a look of such profound, hollow disappointment that I felt my knees give out. "Is this the Solana project, Elena?" he asked. His voice was so quiet it was terrifying. I tried to lie. The lies were already on my tongue, practiced and slick. But he just held the phone toward me, scrolling. Matteo had sent a follow-up. "Can't stop thinking about how you looked in that chair. See you tomorrow, Hermosa." That was the end of the marriage. Just like that. No grand finale. just the sound of a man walking out of the front door and the click of a lock that I knew I wouldn't have a key for anymore. But the fire didn't stop at my front door. It followed me back to the office the next morning. I walked in, eyes red, head pounding, and went straight to Mateo's office. I wanted to scream. I wanted to break things. I wanted him to feel the ruin I was sitting in. I burst in, but he wasn't alone. Two other partners were there. Mateo looked up, his face a mask of professional annoyance. Elena, we're in the middle of something. Can this wait? You sent that photo to my personal phone, I hissed, not caring who heard. My husband saw it. He's gone. The other partners looked at each other. Mateo didn't blink. He stood up, walked over to the door, and closed it softly. Elena, he said, his voice dropping to that smooth, manipulative tone he used on clients. I'm sorry about your domestic troubles. Truly. But you need to keep your personal life out of this office. We have a reputation to maintain. The coldness of it was like a physical blow. He wasn't the man who had whispered Hermosa in my ear. He was a partner at a firm protecting his assets. To him, I wasn't a lover or a muse. I was a liability. Within a week, I was reassigned. Within a month, my contract was mutually terminated due to a restructuring. They gave me a severance package that felt like blood money and a non-disclosure agreement that made sure I couldn't tell a soul why I was really leaving. Mateo is still there. He's probably got a new lead architect now. Someone younger. Someone who hasn't learned yet that the sparks you catch at work can burn your entire life down. I lost my husband. I lost my career. I lost the house in Madrid with the sun-drenched balcony. Now, I sit in a small apartment on the outskirts of the city, listening to the silence. I learned the hard way that when you bring a fire home, it doesn't just warm the room. It turns everything you love into ash. I used to think the risk made it better. I used to think the danger was the point. But staring at a blank resume and an empty bed, I realized that some entanglements don't just tie you up. They strangle you. And the worst part? I'm the one who handed him the rope.